Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth, consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
I believe in the team, and the abbreviation of the word team is together each achieves more.
Today on episode 451 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with Marina Barieva, international photographer, speaker, and host of the Marketing for Creatives show. I'm going to ask Marina how you can get paid at the price level you want and much more. Find out more about Marina along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Marina Barieva. Marina is an international portrait photographer based in Beijing, China. She is also a host of the popular podcast, Marketing for Creatives, where she brings the experts and other creatives to share their experience in business and marketing. Marina is a known authority in helping entrepreneurs become influencers in their niche. She's been featured in Art People, CCTV, China Radio International, and others. As a creative marketer, Marina is always busy with innovative projects. She organized and hosted an online conference called Lady Photographer, a fashion show called New Year Queen, and was a part of the art project for Beijing Design Week. Marina helps people do what they love and grow it as a business. Marina, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Hi, David. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm happy to serve your audience today.
Thanks so much. So, Marina, how did you learn to become an influencer?
Well, I started in Russia with my modeling career. Then I moved to China where I turned to photography. And at that time, you know, like as a creative person coming from modeling, acting, photography, I was like, I want to build it as a business, but I did not know how to sell, how to market myself. And that time I was focusing more on being perfect in my work, on mastering my skills and to be really great in that. But then I realized that it doesn't bring me clients.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, it's pretty common for anybody who's either in a creative field or a knowledge-based field. You know, being really good at what you specialize in is important, but you're totally right. It doesn't necessarily bring you customers.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how good your work is when nobody knows you. Then you don't have your business, you don't have work, you don't have clients. And then I started to learn more about how to market myself, how to grow this authority, and how to collaborate with the influencers. That's what helped me to turn my hobby that time into a business. And it's so much easier to sell when people know you and come to you or someone referred to you, rather than trying to reach people one by one, asking, buy my service or buy my product, try to sell something. It's, I don't want even to think about this. Now it's much easier. And then the process which I developed to grow the authority, I apply to any new project I start now. I love marketing now. Before, I hated that. Every time I try to sell something, I couldn't even to say my price and explain that. People love the work, but then, you know, I was too shy to that. But now I do love marketing, and it's so much easier for me, especially when you enjoy your work and enjoy telling about this. That's just fun things to do.
So when you look back, Marina, on the time when you were focusing primarily on improving the quality of your work before you figured out this whole marketing puzzle, how did you feel as you were spending lots of time and energy trying to improve the quality of the work you produced and not getting good business results?
I took a lot of classes. I assisted different photographers. And every time I showed my work, people loved it. And I so much cared about that work that I forgot to think about what people think, how they feel, how those people who I photograph feel. And I could not sell, and it felt so bad, and I tried to catch everything. I tried so many types of photography that I should portraits, I should events, food photography, and for everyone, when someone reached me out, I'm like, okay, this will cost. Let me think how much it's going to cost. Oh, should I praise myself for the time or for my service. And then I realized that I just cannot do everything. It's so exhausting. It's like you're all in one person. And this is what a lot of people try to do. They think like, okay, if I do a lot of things, then I'll make more money because people come to me, I can do this, this, and this. And yeah, it's so easy. In fact, it just was completely big change in my career and business when I just pick two things which I start to focus on. And this is the one of the key how you can become an influencer, how you can grow your authority in your business. Focus on something what makes you and your work special. And think about how to deliver a good service for people. Forget about yourself. I mean, of course you want to grow as a business, but nobody cares about you. People want to have attention for themselves. There was a time when a friend of mine looked at my work. He said, oh, your work is good, but you're searching for the approval. When you find out how to bring experience to people, you'll make it as a business. And I remember this for years. And then in a couple of years, I finally understood what he meant that time in the beginning of my journey. Because people want this experience. People want this service. People want the product. They see the quality of your work. But there are so many photographers who can do the quality work, right? There's so many businesses who can do a good job. And in fact, nobody will tell you, I do a bad job. Everyone will say, I do a good job. But can you tell them what you will do, how you will do, and what is that special experience you can share with them? That will be a completely different thing in your business.
So how did you decide which two areas to focus on?
I tried everything. I'm a practical person. If I want to try something, if I want to do something, I don't like to think too much. What will be if I do food photography or wedding photography or portraits? I try this. All of them. All of the things which I was interested in, I tried. And then I decided, I don't like to do weddings. I don't like to do food photographies. I love people. And I love those two areas which I focus on.
So you went with areas that you knew you loved,
mm-hmm.
whether or not there was a market for them.
I know that there is a market. You need to find out how you can serve those people. I try to balance two things, to do the work you love, because if you will go for something which will give you only money, but you hate this work, you will quit fast. Business is the long-term project. It's not that something you're going to do for a couple of months and get a lot of money and then you retire. You will have your ups and downs. And in the down moment, you need to think about how you're going to move forward in your business. So this is one thing. I selected something which I like, and I look for the ways where people need it. How I can serve those people with what I like, but give them incredible experience. Like those two things which I photograph, I shoot fashion style portraits. And a lot of people can shoot a portrait for women, right? But those photographers, they focus on models or pretty girls. It's much easier to focus or to photograph a girl who can pose for you, who is already in shape. But I can shoot any woman, whether she is a curvy woman or she is old or she has some a bad skin or like all of those imperfections. I will make you look like in a magazine, but I will make you look like you. This is another thing. Because I live in China and here is a huge market of Chinese photographers. And people ask me, how do you, specialize in portraits? Why don't you shoot weddings like Chinese people do? Or why we should come to you? Because I charge like 5-10 times more than Chinese photographer. I'm like, you can go to Chinese photographer, but you know that what you will get there, the quality of the work and what you get here, they will over Photoshop you. You look skinny. You will look, perfect, but it's fake perfection. And the the way they photograph is completely different. So I prefer to have maybe less clients, but I can charge more, but I know the value which I bring. Or if I photograph, for example, professionals or executives, I know there's a market. And I also shoot this in the specific style, which not many people photograph in Beijing.
Right. So you figured out what is unique about the way you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about this, the issue of pricing, which you've mentioned a couple of times. When you were first trying to develop a particular niche, how did you decide or determine what the right price was?
Well, again, I'm a practitioner. I tried things. So there's a time when I charge, like in US, maybe about $100 for the whole photo shoot. I gave a lot of pictures. And when people reached me out, they were complaining, why it's so expensive? Maybe we can make it cheaper. And that's a lot of work. And then I raised my prices and nothing changed. And then I've done the experiment. So for people who reach me out from nowhere, like their warm clients from your referrals or from someone who you know, when they reach out, with those people, you try to be more careful because they're almost ready to buy from you. But those people who came from me, like found online or just somewhere heard about me, I gave them a little bit different price. So for some people, I told like two times more. For some people, I maybe changed a package a little bit. And you know what, David? Nothing changed. The questions are completely the same. The attitude is completely the same. It all depends on the person. Some people still told me, why it's so expensive? Whatever it was, like $100 or $400. And the problems they have there is the same. And I'm like, if there's no difference, why wouldn't I charge the price which I'm comfortable with? I still charge less than some US photographers, for example, but more than some Chinese or foreign photographers in Beijing. And I pick the price which I feel will be, I can sell for this. If I would price myself higher, I would be less comfortable. If I would price myself less, as I've done before, I would not feel that I deliver more work than people pay for.
So what I think I'm hearing from you, Marina, is that you need to be comfortable with the price that you're charging and feel that you're providing appropriate value given the price.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you feel that you want to earn more money, think about how you can provide more value. Or maybe you just need to cut your lowest price. Sometimes that works too. And see how it goes. If average, the first time I thought about raising my prices, when I charged not so much money, the person bought my higher package and she asked about more pictures from the photo shoot. And I'm like, if she was able to afford this price and she want more, she paid some more for the extra services, why wouldn't I charge more for my service? It made me think about to change my prices. So you can do some experiments. Again, it's a lot of people are uncomfortable to change their prices just because, you know, like people will tell you you're so expensive. And so what? Some people will think that you're expensive. Some people will think that you're cheap. You need to know your market. You need to know people who you want to reach. There is a mistake which people make. Then they want to work with one audience, but they price the service or deliver the product for another audience. Then how you can manage everything, how you can have better clients when you deliver different service. Or I have a friend, he always wanted to do portrait photos, but he still shoot weddings. I'm like, why don't you start shoot more portraits because you love this? But there's no money in portraits. You get what you believe in. If you believe that there's no money in portraits, then okay, shoot your weddings. Why don't you try to market yourself as a portrait photographer too?
Right. No, it's an important point. So in your work, I know you have a very successful podcast and you also do work with entrepreneurs in addition to what you do as a photographer. Tell us a little bit about your podcast and also the kind of work you do helping entrepreneurs become influencers?
Well, as I said, before I hated marketing, I was so scared of that. But then when I figured out how these things works, and I organized a project, and there was I collaborated with some people, and it brings you more clients, more people know about you. I was like, wow, this is interesting. And then I started learning more about this, and I love business and marketing things. And then I thought, I want to help my people. I want to help my audience to grow this as a business too, because one of my audience is professionals and entrepreneurs. So I want them to build this as a business. And I thought, how I can do this? What I can do to provide value to them? And again, I tried different things. I tried videos, I tried writing blogs, and then I tried podcasting. And it's so interesting because you have the access to smartest people in the world. You can ask them questions, you can get answers, and you can share it with your people. And I'm so happy that when people reach me out and say, oh, I got a new client, or I got a better job, or I get changes in my business. There was a girl who started traveling, and now she moved to another city, and she's building her gallery over there. It's so exciting because we talk about the small things, how to price yourself, how to market yourself on Instagram, using Facebook ads, a lot, everything about marketing and business, how to be productive in your business, because we entrepreneurs are very busy, right? And there's a few things which I started to share with people, that you can also become the influencer. Besides of these marketing things, we focus on business, we focus on marketing. But as I said in the beginning, that when people know about you, because a lot of my audience and your audience, David, too, are just solopreneurs or entrepreneurs with just a few people in the team. And we need to do a lot of work. So you as an entrepreneur already have your knowledge. You have your experience. Start sharing it with people. There are a few shortcuts which will help you to grow your influence and become more popular. And when you're an influencer, people come to buy. Not you start reaching one by one everyone, but people find you. And you can do it through sharing your content, whether it's like you and I, David, do the podcast. It can be like writing something and having a YouTube channel. You can start speaking. This is a shortcut. Speaking and podcasting, it's you get access to the new audience. And there's nothing better than personal interaction with people when you do public speaking or podcasting. Is so much easier to get into podcasting than do a guest spot on the website. And podcasting is very popular now. And the third shortcut, it's collaborating with other influencers. And many people forget about who are those people who they can collaborate and deal, do business with. These are micro-influencers, bloggers and content creators, industry experts and thought leaders. Think about who are those people in your area and how you can bring value to each other. The biggest mistake which people make is the thing like, I want this person to promote my business. Start with bringing value to people first.
If you want to rise above the noise, doing what you love and getting paid what you're worth consistently, check out smashingtheplateau.com/best network and learn how we help entrepreneurs like you. Mention Smashing the Plateau and receive 1 month free membership in Best Network. What's an example of either something you've done or something that you've seen somebody else who's an entrepreneur of a small business do that has really moved the needle forward in a big way when it comes to providing influence and then impacting either your business or impacting somebody you know?
Well, I'll give you a few examples, some from my experience, some from others. From my experience, for example, when I was in Miami and I was new there, I knew almost nobody there. And I got a new friend there and we were talking another day and I wanted other people to know more about me. and she's a professional hairstylist. And we were talking and shared our dreams. And she said, I always wanted to do a show. I'm like, I also wanted to do a fashion show. She wanted to do a hairstyle show. I wanted to do a fashion show. And that was our first project together. And we knew each other for like 3 weeks or so. And I said, okay, let's do it. And we wanted to, because she is master, I was master in what I do. And we wanted to bring kind of back our knowledge, experience and everything to the community. So we decided to do a charity fashion show. That was right before Christmas several years ago. And we collaborated with many people around. We brought models, DJs. We got the venue. The restaurants helped us. We collaborated with some shops, which provided us jewelry and the dresses for the fashion show. And it was amazing. And I had the exhibition of my photographer there. So in the end, we got the fantastic show, which people talk about for half of the year. In a couple of months, they had a Miss Russian Miami. And in several months, people still remember two events, Miss Russian Miami and our fashion show. And wow. We were like, well, Miss Russian Miami is a big event. There are a lot of sponsors. And we, like, you know, two girls trying to show our skills. That was a fantastic experience for both of us. And in the end, we also could donate money from the event to charity and help kids to get gifts. And just because it was before Christmas, that was a great gift for them. After that, we got a magazine publication. We got a TV feature. Isn't it awesome? And we even didn't plan that. We only wanted to give some gifts to kids and show our work to people. This is one of the examples. And every people who was in the event, who helped to organize, nobody paid for that. Everyone brought something which they could do. And we talk about the venue, we talk about the dresses. So everyone got a little bit of promotions over there.
Right. So all out of collaboration.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Think about how you can help others. Think about others first. And all together, I believe in the team. And the abbreviation of the word team is together, each achieves more.
Very good point. Marina, what have you done to build consistent, stable revenue in your business?
Well, this is what I've done. I was growing my business because I collaborated with many, many people. And in the end, when I started focusing on this specific niche, I brought some people. I had some clients who I work with, and I put together as a portfolio of the work. So every time when people who reach me out, I think how I can connect someone who I photographed before with the person who I plan to photograph, who reached me out. Maybe they know someone who I already photograph, because I know I photograph people from my dancing community, well-known people. I have a business owner here. I have the girl who does workshops in calligraphy. I have like all of these small micro influencers. So if, for example, you did reach me out and you would live in Beijing, I could, for example, share with you experience of the business owner. You have a business, you want a headshot for yourself or a professional photo shoot for your website or social media. And I can share that I photographed her and she just opened her website. And I have a testimonial. The testimonials are a brilliant marketing thing. And every time when you finish a project, ask about the testimonial from the person. It's better if you give a person some questions which they can answer, so they will tell something which will be helpful for you. For example, when I ask people who are photographed, I ask them, what did you afraid of? How was that experience? How do you feel after you got your photographs? And what would you tell your friends? And then they write a few sentences from me. So if you would reach me out and ask me about the photo shoot, I would send you the examples. I would tell you the story about this lady, and I will give you her testimonial or maybe some other people. It depends on what you're looking for. So, and here you build the connection with the person, and then it's easier for you to sell. So basically my business work on word of mouth mostly. And all of these micro-influencers are helping me now to promote and grow my business more and more.
And what's coming up in the near future for you and your business? What are you working on now?
I'm working on the podcast. I'm like, this is my new kind of new step of my career, my business. I want to make it well-known internationally. And I prepare some a series of emails for people who listen, for those who subscribe to the emails, about how you can become the influencer, how you can pick this niche, how you can define what you want to be known for, how to pick the topics to speak, for example, on podcasts or do public speaking, how to collaborate with influencers. Because we have how much, like 25, 30 minutes with you. That's not enough to cover everything, but there's a small nuances which will help you to, you know, to gain more experience and to know how to make it better, faster, and more effective. So excited about this.
Well, sounds great, and good luck with what you're planning. Marina, do you have a free gift you'd like to offer our audience?
Yeah, I would like to. If you're interested more in this topic and you want to check what influencer you are as an entrepreneur, just go to marinabaraeva.com/influencer. There's a quick test which you can answer in a couple of minutes, and it will go through every steps on from your social media appearance, from your credibility, from your different portfolio, and you will get the results of where you are right now and what's the next steps to take to grow to the next level of your influencers. And then, of course, you'll get to my email list and you'll get this series on how to be the influencer. This is marinabaraeva.com/influencer.
And is that also the same URL where if somebody wants to go deeper with anything you've shared or learn more and contact you?
You can just go to marinabaraeva.com and get more episodes about podcasting. There's my social media channels. I'm more active on Instagram. So if you want to reach me, feel free. We like to discuss stuff with people over there.
Sounds great. Well, Marina, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Marina Baraeva, international photographer, speaker, and host of the Marketing for Creative show. Thank you again, Marina, for joining us.
Thank you so much, David, for having me here. It's a pleasure to serve your audience today.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how you can get paid for the price level you want, and how Marina has built consistent, stable revenue in her own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Get in Touch to connect directly with me. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on, and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.